the show.
I'm over your show. It's pretentious, it's hypocritical, and worst of all, it's not funny anymore. So, this feedback for you guys.
Yeah,
little Ewoks. An entire empire brought to its knees by small, furry creatures.
That's my point exactly.
Leave them alone.
Brian, did you notice that everything that transpired in those three films, and I mean everything, can be attributed to the actions of one very minor character?
Who?
The gunner on the Star Destroyer at the beginning of the first film.
How come?
Well, because if the gunner had shot the pod that C-3PO and R2 were in, they wouldn't have got to Tatooine, they wouldn't have met Luke, Luke wouldn't have met Ben, they wouldn't have met Han and Chewie, they wouldn't have rescued Princess Leia. None of it would have happened.
Chaos theory.
Eh?
The predictability of random events. The notion that reality as we know it, past, present, future, is in fact a mathematically predictable, preordained system.
So somewhere out there in the vastness of the unknown is an equation for predicting the future.
An equation so complex as to utterly defy any possibility of comprehension by even the most brilliant human mind. It's an equation nonetheless.
Oh my God.
What?
I've got some fucking Jaffa cakes in my coat pocket.
Let's all play Kabaddi.
Robin, I was just listening to one of your recent podcasts. I've called before, just once, but I heard that you were sad that no one was leaving voicemail, so I'm just leaving you a voicemail to say that I do still love the show. Also, I never told you what I saw in New York walking down the street, so I need to tell you now, even though it's really old and probably not even relevant anymore, but I was walking down the street, and I saw this Asian girl, pretty skinny Asian girl, but she had a bit of a booty. But anyway, she was wearing this kind of long skirt, came to just below the knee, and on the back of it, I noticed there were some letters. I saw a big U, a big N, and a big K going down it pretty much sideways, if that makes any sense. I got a little closer, and I saw that it said Funk. So this Asian chick's walking along, and she had Funk written in these gigantic block letters going all the way down her ass. Of course, I'm thinking of, you know, the whole Jonathan thing, Chunk Funk, and, you know, I get really excited when, of course, she's going too slow for me, I want to get my lunch, I'm passing her, walking pretty quickly, and I do a quick glance, and what do I see? But I see a UNK going down the front of her as well. It didn't say Chunk Funk, it said Skunk Funk, which I looked up later, and apparently it's some kind of London brand that's popular now, Skunk Funk. But I was thinking how amusing it would be if it said Chunk Funk. Anyway, I realize that's way too long and dumb a story to play on the air, but you can enjoy it yourselves, and I'll try to call back when I have something else interesting to report. Bye.
Chunk Funk.
During the BSG segment, you said you've only been wrong once. I let that slide. It's actually been twice.
Oh, twice. What was my second one?
Remember I was talking about when we were doing the BSG, when you were talking about they were assembled on an assembly line or whatever?
No, I...
No, the way you said it was, did you guys see the scenes?
I saw pieces of people. I thought they...
But what it turned out being is them all just laying on each other, like, dying.
Well, I said, I don't know. It looks like they're piecing them together.
No, I have the recording, Steven. I'll go back.
And it looks, I guess, from the previews from next week, they figure out that the Cylons aren't, like, kind of raised from embryos. They're pieced together in full human shape.
What do you mean?
Did you not know that? Did you not pay attention to that in the...
I didn't catch that.
They're put together as adults. They're built.
Oh, you mean like they've snapped the arms on and stuff?
Yeah, essentially.
I didn't catch that at all.
You didn't...
But one thing I thought...
It said essentially they're assembled as whole beings.
Did you catch that, Bill?
No, I didn't.
But
That at all.
At the end when Sharon...
Was that on the preview for next week?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, see, I didn't see that because I download the show. I don't watch it live.
Bill's a Cylon. He just plugs it into his neck.
Just wanted to call back. I know it's been a while. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you people in Mulberry. Except for Vanessa the Liar. On that, I just want to say your shows are very good lately, and I don't understand why. And I think maybe it's because I'm not on there. Is that what it is? Because I'm not there, you just... No more Eugene. Eugene is gone. You don't mention me anymore. Where's the love for Eugene? You don't miss me. I especially do not miss Vanessa the Liar. Vanessa the Liar. Say that with a big mouth. Vanessa the Liar. My New Year's resolution is to not think about Vanessa the Liar ever again. We're broken up. Goodbye, damn it!
Man, I hate hearing myself on the other end.
I do too. Now you know what, Bill, and my pain.
Yeah, it's because your crappy connection.
I fixed my connection all up. Yeah. Like, I opened a bunch of ports on my router, and it's supposed to... It should sound good.
It does.
And I disconnected Vonage.
It's a Vanessa that sounds...
No, it's not. My computer's more advanced than all yours.
Yeah, right.
What?
It is.
No, it isn't.
You want to bet?
Yeah.
I just built a $5,000 computer.
Didn't we already do...
It's so easy to get men going. You talk either about their car or anything electronic.
Yeah, right. It's because you're totally backtracking now. I think we already determined your computer didn't have enough RAM.
I know. How can your computer not have enough RAM and it be better than any of ours?
What are you talking about? My computer has plenty of RAM.
Does it have 4 gigs of DDR2 800 megahertz RAM?
Hold on. I'll tell you what I have. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, Christ. Can we just start the show?
Before you make them. I have 3,000 RAM. There.
Now, my computer's less than a year old.
No, I know, but remember that time Steven made you go through all that and said you needed to get more RAM?
You only had 512 meg.
Yeah, you didn't have enough because what it does is it during the show, the bandwidth, you're using too much bandwidth and then everything starts to go to hell sometimes. Was it operating bandwidth?
It fills up your cache, basically, is what it's doing.
2.80 gig.
No, it's not 2.80. That's your processor.
Will you chill out? I'm reading. Wait.
That's your processor's 2.8 gig.
Hold on.
2.8 megahertz.
What is it? You hit start. You hit my computer.
All you have to do is right-click on my computer and look at properties.
Wow, I can't believe we're wasting time doing that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, sorry.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to tell us what it is, do you?
I'm looking. It doesn't say on the front part.
Cold busted.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you right-click my computer, click properties, it says right here, computer, Pentium D, and then it says right after the gigahertz, it says 2 gigabytes of RAM or 4 gigabytes of RAM.
Okay, it says Microsoft Windows XP Home Edition version 2002 Service Pack 2 registered to Vanessa. Then there's about 6 lines of random numbers.
Yeah, that's your key code.
It's below there.
It'll say computer.
It'll say like Pentium 4 CPU 2.8 gigahertz. How much of RAM does it say?
Right after that.
That's what I'm looking for.
What does it say immediately after your processor's gigahertz?
Dell Dimension.
Dell Dimension, and then...
That's all it says after that.
All right, hers is the only computer that doesn't have that.
Oh, BS.
It doesn't. Her computer is so good, it doesn't need RAM.
So advanced.
Vanessa, are you serious? It doesn't say what RAM it is on that page right there?
No, I'm telling you. Wait, hold on.
Well, then your computer's fucked up, which we already knew.
It should say below that, like Dell Computer Corporation. It'll
hold
say,
Hold on. I cut myself. I'll be right back.
With what? Committing suicide on the show?
Her intense wit.
Vanessa, how'd you cut yourself?
Okay, sorry. No, my roll-away keyboard thing, I must have hit it in the little metal thing on the side that helps it to roll out, and I sliced my finger. Oh,
I thought you
God,
had
I
a knife,
hurt.
And you were like Bishop and Aliens doing the thing between the fingers.
Yeah. God, that's deep. Shit.
Well, I guess we'll never learn your RAM now. Good distraction, Vanessa.
If you want me to look, I'll look.
No, please don't.
Yeah, we don't care anymore. But we already know it's 512 because we've looked before. Well, I don't think your mouth will be good. Why don't you go rinse it off and clean it?
That's all right. I wrapped a piece of paper around it.
That what? Go.
No. Brown paper. Brown paper is the best thing to stop bleeding.
Well, go rinse it with soap real quick.
Yeah, I hear it's real sanitary, too.
Because your mouth is the dirtiest,
most
germ-filled.
I know where my mouth has been. Where's yours been?
No, I'm serious. Go rinse off your hand real quick.
Oh, that was stupid. I used hand sanitizer. Ow.
Yeah, it only has alcohol in it.
Oh, I know, but I was... Oh.
Go wash your hands, Spaz.
Hold on.
Are we caught in Vanessa's Days of Our Lives?
This is all going in the after the show.
Oh, are you recording? Great.
I'm thinking everyone. She used to work in a hospital, right?
Yeah, she's like... Like licking it up with her nasty tongue and then wrapping fucking brown paper. It's like a paper
patient
bag.
Comes in. Oh, just stick that finger cut off in your mouth and hold on to it for a few
minutes. I'm done eating my Fritos. Take the bag and cup it over your wound. Oh, ma'am, what is that?
Here's some Saran Wrap.
Yeah.
You should see here
I can't even believe. What is the brown paper bag like from a grocery store?
I'm sorry, say
or is it like a? Is the brown paper bag from a grocery store or is it like a lunch bag?
It's like a lunch bag.
Oh,
it used to have Kentucky Fried Chicken biscuits inside of it.
Yeah, I think they still do.
No, I had a bag that I put my Marissa keeps.
She keeps spare bags around
pieces.
A wrap wound with.
Yes, in case of emergency, break glass and there's a bag to wrap around the wound.
Okay, you got third degree burns. Lay this paper bag on it. What the hell are you doing?
Donut.
But it's the best way to stop bleeding. Is that right, Vanessa?
Well, the absorbency in brown paper bags, it helps it to stop
bleeding.
It's
not as good as, like,
I guess
a
pressure
bandage.
Has nothing to do with
it. But if you sprinkle it with the powder from the powdered donuts, that keeps it from sticking.
Yes, exactly. See, powdered donuts, and you get to eat it afterwards.
You get a bag of Timbits. You can just eat the donuts and then wrap the bag around your finger.
All right, let's go ahead and start the show.
Yeah, it's 6:30.
Yeah, it's not like it's not you who's holding us up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut myself.
No, I think you did. It was all an elaborate distraction for us not to learn
to
ramp.
I use this finger all the time.
She's an attention whore.
Oh, whatever. Pot calling a kettle black.
Me, attention whore.
Oh,
I can give an absolute shit if anyone paid attention to me.
Then let's see you go a whole 10 minutes on the show without saying a word.
It's easy. I think I have a
co-host. What are you talking
Anytime
about?
Anytime you talk Battlestar Galactica, I don't talk.
I need Bill.
You can't.
First of all, Vanessa, I need Bill to talk on the show. He's a co-host.
I'm joking. Jesus Christ.
Man, you got nothing, man.
What you hate men. I hate men.
You can't go back.
I think I'm gay. I'm turning gay.
How can you go back?
Yeah, because it's a
men's
choice.
Men's the problem.
It's our fault that every argument goes with, I'm just kidding.
Jason,
nothing
you know
I just said has any validity. So.
Validity.
Wow. So sad. Jesus Christ. Let's start the show. Okay,
Jason,
here we go.
Jason, are you... Oh, I'm sorry. Are you going to get everybody a gift or are you just going to get one person?
Can we start the show? Why are you starting this conversation right when we're about to start the show?
Well, you know, let's all talk about our secret Santa gift. So let's get it all straightened out here.
I just
right
said
now
we're about to start the show. And then this...
It's a quick answer. You say, I'm going to buy for one person.
No. No one.
All right. Look. Look, you got to excuse that earlier call. Okay. I just took an antihistamine shot and I was all hopped up. I didn't mean it, okay? I'm sorry, Vanessa. I just got a little uppity and a little, I don't know, just forgive me. I apologize. Just give me a call and let's straighten this out. I've been thinking about seeing you in that Wilma Deering thing that you got from my mom, and I just, I apologize, forgive me, you can't trust me after I get those shots, because they just, they go to my head, so call me, call me, yeah, call me. Damn it!
Did you guys see that stuff on 2020 about...
Last night?
Yeah!
No.
There was... The most insane shit I have ever seen.
It's this.
What was it?
It was okay. There's these rash of hoax phone calls around the United States to like fast food places where this guy would tell the manager to get an employee or somebody in there conduct a strip search or a cavity search.
Susie stole from your register. I saw.
Yeah,
her.
And the one thing had to do with this girl at McDonald's, and he made her strip search. And the guy on the phone, they think it's a cop on the phone telling him to do this stuff. And he says, put her over your lap and spank her. So he's spanking her. And then he's like, perform oral sex on him.
Wait.
Well, let's start from the beginning here. The girl was accused of stealing a purse from a customer.
Right.
So this cop supposedly is telling the manager this, and the manager brings her in, and then the guy on the phone is asking all these bizarre questions, saying you need to strip search her, have her do jumping jacks.
Right.
You know, this ridiculous stuff, and this female manager is just like, oh, you
how
know,
stupid
it's a
people?
Cop. I need to listen to him and follow all everything that he says.
And the girl did this stuff for
them. Yeah, and then after a while, the manager couldn't stay there. So the guy asked her if she trusted anyone, and she said, sure, I trust my fiance. And he said, well, get him there and have him watch over her while you go do what you need to do. Immediately, the lady should have been like, what? But no, she gets her fiance there, and the fiance gets on the phone with the guy posing as a cop, and then this guy posing as a cop starts telling the guy to tell the girl to remove what's covering her, like remove the apron that she's covering up with, to bend over his knee so he can spank the girl, to perform oral sex on the guy. And this guy's just doing it. So it's really disturbing to watch.
Wait a minute.
How they're...
I'm sorry, hon. No, okay, let's say I were that employee and they called me in and told me to strip search. I'm not stupid enough to strip search.
But see, what you need to understand, this girl was like 15, 14 years old.
Yeah, I think she was 17.
She didn't know any better.
But she was obviously, it's the first job she's ever had. And this, the guy, the woman, she's saying, you know, you need to take off all your clothes or whatever. And she was pleading with her, I haven't done anything. And they're listening to everything this guy says on the phone. It wasn't until they got another guy in there.
Yeah.
And he started saying, okay, I need you to tell her to drop her apron. He goes, who is this? I'm not doing that. And then he gets everybody in there, and then they call the police. And finally got an intelligent person on the phone. And this guy hangs up, of course, and they don't get him. But the detective on the job, he tracks it down to a phone call in Florida done with
a
phone card. And then they track it through Walmart, and they find the guy doing it.
Wow.
But the thing is, you just can't believe how stupid people are. And then you find out that it's been happening. He's been making calls, like, to Burger Kings and stuff in different states. And
What's the most horrible thing about it is this guy has been doing it. It's obvious. They have him on tape buying a calling card. They have him on tape leaving the Walmart the card was bought from. And they go to trial, and this guy gets off. He's innocent, and it's all because all the cops have are circumstantial evidence.
Yeah, all they have is him buying the cards. The lawyer's saying you can't prove he made the phone calls, which is, like, pretty obvious. But the jury finds him not guilty.
That's amazing to me. Well, this is – okay, first and foremost, the manager, who is an adult, by the way, should have figured this out.
And you know what the worst thing about her was is now – you know, she was fired from McDonald's, but she had her lawyer with her during an interview with the reporter doing this story. And the reporter had the video because there was a video of it in the manager's office. All this was caught on tape, what was going on with this girl. And he's showing this video to the lady, and he says, you know, what were you thinking? Why would you do that? Do you not see in this video what's happening? Do you see her crying? And she's like, oh, she wasn't crying. And the guy's like, she's crying. Look at the tape. And she goes, that's not what I see. So she's like denying everything that happened.
Yeah, she's denying any responsibility, and she says that she definitely has a lawsuit against McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the lady's claiming no responsibility. That's McDonald's fault. It's like, you were the manager, though.
Yeah, but she could sue both of them, McDonald's and the lady.
Right. The one thing the cop said is even though the guy was found not guilty, all of the hoax phone calls stopped after that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of pretty much proof that the guy did it.
Yeah.
The moment he was arrested,
they're
and
watching this cat.
It all stopped.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but if I was the father of that girl, I would go just shoot that guy in the back of the head.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
Oh, hi, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to say another thing to you pretentious assholes. I also don't appreciate Steven making jokes about ACDC last episode, but I do really like that historian of ass, Bill. I want to make some history with him, if you know what I'm saying. If you don't know what I'm saying, then you're even stupider than I thought you were, because you're really stupid to begin with. So if you don't understand that, then you're really stupid, okay? So just shut up, okay? Okay, well, anyway, I'm not listening to your show anymore. What else? And you know what? I like Smallville. Smallville's a good show. And Green Arrow, he's a really good actor, and it's got good special effects and good direction. Michael Rosenbaum is an excellent actor, all right? So I want to hear any more about that. I'm sick of it. Stop talking about Smallville like that. Smallville's a good show. I love Smallville. Also, Lost is a pretty good show, too, and, well, sometimes I agree with you guys on Lost, because it just goes nowhere, but I can't wait till it comes back, but I'm not listening to your show anymore, because I've had it with you guys, you're not funny, and most of all, you're pretentious. That's right, pretentious. P-R-E, T-E-N-T-I-O-U-S. That's right, pretentious. Okay, Jason, you're crappy news. Hey, here's a news flash, you fuck. Hey, here's the DVD of the week. Hey, it's Bill. Well, Billy's losses, don't get me wrong, his story of ass, more like his story of stupidity! What do you guys think of that, huh? I'm gonna do my own podcast, making fun of nowhere in Mulberry. Mulberry sucks. By the way, Steven, I can hear you breathing all the time during the show. At least I know you're alive. But hey, it's called pushing the mic away from your mouth. What do you think of that? Huh? Do we gotta hear you breathing? Through every segment of the show? Jesus Christ! But anyway, I won't be listening to your show anymore and all that kind of stuff. And I hope you guys all burn in hell! Thank you! Have a nice day! Good day, sir! Bye!
Okay, Steven, don't look. You have to identify this drop. You have to tell me where it came from. Meaning, like, did we play it on the show or something like this? Like, here's an easy
one. Of course we played it on the show. Yeah,
here's an easy one.
I've been scrubbing them real hard.
Okay, you know what that's from, right?
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Huh? You know what that's from?
What?
Don't you know?
I've been scrubbing them real hard.
You know who's saying it, right? Oh my God! That's an easy one.
Steven's officially fucked up. Come on, man.
What about Bill? Okay, Bill, this is you.
The view of your crack to table 7 is not appealing.
Oh, that's an easy
Gordo.
One.
And okay, Steven, here's that another was, Green Arrow.
I was like, oh my God!
That was the episode where they talk about the kid that died at the school. It was the flashback episode.
Here's I should have played this one.
Thought I made myself clear. You were only to use violence if you were in danger.
Genius. Do you know who's saying this, Bill?
I hope you die a violent death and bugs eat your corpse.
Yeah, that's from Scrubs.
Ah, good. Okay, Steven, here's a really hard one.
Hi!
Hi. I know what that's from. That's total Top Next Model. Or no, the other
no,
one.
It's
the Heidi Klum Show.
Hi.
Project Runway.
I gotta tell you, I am so excited.
Project Runway, or if it's not Project Runway, it's the fashion
blowout.
Show. Jesus Christ,
Jonathan.
Is that really all, Jonathan? Even the high one?
Yeah,
that sounded like the guy that said it's a conspiracy.
Major issues.
What are you doing, monkey?
Where's your sister?
I called her house, and her new roommate said that she's not here right now, and I pictured her standing over her dead body going, she can't come to the phone right now. Yeah, and Steven said maybe she's, like, tied up, and he was like she said, she's a little tied up right now.
I had a friend of ours that I'd known since high school shows up when I was living with my roommate. He's running from some drug dealers or some shit. I don't know what's going on. And he runs in the garage when my roommate was going to work. Hey, dude, you gotta put me up, man. I'm in trouble. He's like, dude, I work for the government. I can't have anybody wanted around me. It's like, come on. What about Steven? It's like, what is he? Doesn't he have anything to say about it? It's like, no, it's not my house. You know, it's my roommate's house. You know. Steven doesn't have any say in that.
What
well,
the
yeah,
hell
go
is
ahead.
Going
go
on with people?
Go ahead and let him stay. You know, I was like, shit, I'm more concerned about all my stereo equipment getting stolen. If this guy owes money to drug dealers.
Yeah.
You know.
What? That's not the type of person you want to go, yeah, sure, you can stay. Because then
like,
you're bringing yourself into that situation, which can't end well.
Yeah, I thought about it, like, after the fact. I was like, you know what we could have done was, like, go up to a hotel and let him go into a hotel and get cleaned up, you know, rent him a room for a day or two. I mean, hell, his own parents turned him away.
Hmm.
You know, they're like, it's like, nah, we can't deal with you, you know, he got in the
drawer. I'm not supposed to be crying! Jesus!
But, like, yeah, what about Steven? What does he say? Guess what? I'm a guest in this house. I don't have any say. But if I do, it would be no.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the fucking police.
I never had a retarded friend.
He was found sleeping at the park over by my roommate's house. You know, they told him he can't stay there. He goes, well, I got a friend that lives over here. I just don't remember his address. And they told him his name, and the police said, okay. And they went and drove him over there. Instead of calling him up, you know, calling the house and saying, hey, we got this guy looking for you. Is it okay if we bring him over? You know, the police just brought him straight over. It's like, man, he could have been a fucking serial killer or anything, you know.
Sounds
yeah.
pretty retarded of the cops to do that.
I know. It's like, you're sleeping in a park. We need to take you down to the jail here. And, you know, we're not booking you or anything, but let's call the guy. You're going to see if he's okay with you coming over. You know, it's, you know, I was like, shit, I'm, you know, you know what, you know, and they're like, yeah, the fucking, you know, the thing, you know. I know, it's like, you know.
That's a great thing.
It's a conspiracy.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Take your top off!
What?
Talk tiny bingo?
I don't want to take my top off. Nobody can look at my...
This roadblock.
Who wants the body massage?
I do.
Then you have to take your top off.
No! I love my moobs. They're special to me and only me.
It's just bum city right now.
Do men play with their moobs?
All right, Vanessa.
Vanessa, what else you got?
All right,
moving on. Vanessa, what else you got? What else you got?
Why are we making you uncomfortable? That's all I've got.
No, not uncomfortable. I just want to move the hell on. Jesus. We've been talking about you and Bill's signs.
Bowel movements and...
And virgins.
Sexual preferences and virgins.
Moobs.
All right, Vanessa, yeah. Tell me that you're over. You're done.
I'm over?
Yes, you're over. It's over, Johnny.
That's all I've got.
Well, thanks, Vanessa. I thought it would be good to have you back, but I was wrong. Well, thanks for
fight me.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
It's kind of the same within certain parts of the Bible Belt, where they had some people who were protesting because they wanted to teach evolution in the schools, mm-hmm. and they were constantly harassed, and some were jailed for, you know, crap, just made-up charges,
they
things like
that.
They
do teach evolution in the schools.
No. In I think it was in Kansas. I can't remember which state.
No, they
state
wanted to teach creationism.
Yeah,
oh, so it was creationism.
It.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
you know what? I think you should teach kids all things that are possible, you know, all aspects of... You know, creationism, evolution. Let them draw their own conclusions. Who are any of us to force our beliefs on anyone?
Yeah,
else?
But it's supposed to be the separation of the religion from schools, and creationism is a very religious belief type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because just, you're going to say that
the theory of evolution is a scientific thing that the scientists, not like some. Guy,
biblical scholar.
Some guy who read the Bible and decided, hey, no, God just created the world without a scientific basis or whatever. I think it is a very strong debate once you get into that stuff. And I don't know, either the world just appeared or something else happened. So
yeah, you know what? It's all up to what people believe or you know don't
what,
want
yeah,
to believe.
It's what it should be, and the way it always has been is. This is what they teach in school, and this is what I'm going to tell you now that we're home.
Well, that's
it's silly to try to force it in the schools.
Because you got different religions that teach different ways of of the creation.
It's just insulting, yeah. So it's like,
and you know, I don't think it's bad that kids in school learn evolution, because it's a scientific theory that I think is important to know. And it's not bad to think, you know, there's evolution, there's creationism, there's any number of things. Maybe we evolved from clams, like L. Ron Hubbard.
But
thinks.
there's more extreme thinking also that, you know, these same people also think that the world is 5,000 years old, and we existed the same time as dinosaurs.
And I totally think that's ridiculous, you know. And I believe in creationism, but who's to say that, you know, the world wasn't formed millions of years ago and just kind of sat there? You know, I don't think it's right for anybody to tell anybody what they should learn.
Right. It's kind of like the sex education debate. Some people are very strong about that.
Well, I think all children should learn sex education in the school.
Oh, I do too.
I'm trying to be funny or stupid. I think
T-Rex
it's extremely...
in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve will be running all the time, scared shitless.
It's extremely important to learn about the possible diseases, about safe sex, about Planned Parenthood, all that stuff. More kids need to know this stuff.
They're afraid to ask their parents.
Well,
it's also
things like this where people get upset about that. It seems so stupid. You see the test scores and stuff of Americans versus other countries. Like, you're getting bent out of shape because you want your children to be taught that the world just, like, was created by some invisible force out there instead of some... what scientists come up with, you'd rather them teach that the world is only 5,000 years old. This is what you're upset about? Are you fucking kidding me? This is what's bothering you?
Your athletes are getting paid millions of dollars, and your educators are getting paid next to nothing. You know,
athletes are more fun to watch than teachers. I mean, I don't think there's anything
but
wrong
no,
with
that's,
that.
You're well, saying, teachers, you're
teachers
saying that's
are
why we've got such
important.
A low education rate
right.
in this.
Well, I mean... if you see a teacher hit a home run in the World Series, then yeah, pay them that. I don't think they're worth more money. What I'm trying to say is that people are getting... I got nothing right
there. Yeah, all of this kind of comes down to the fact of, you know, it even goes back to sex education. It's overpopulation. It's school
it's
rooms.
It's just bullshit.
Are...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, say you believe God exists, right? So you believe everything that exists now was created by God, right?
Yeah.
So leave it at that.
Exactly.
Why does it have to be, no, everyone needs to be taught this? No, they don't.
Keep it out of the school.
Yeah, keep it out of the school.
And you know what else? Every person that is in the United States and is in school and has to do the Pledge of Allegiance has to do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
I hated that, you know, kids that wouldn't do the Pledge of Allegiance.
We weren't allowed
like,
to when
stop
we were kids.
It.
Yeah, oh, you're a Joho? No, I don't think so, you fucking commie. Pledge Allegiance!
Yeah, you live in the United States of America.
You pinko!
If you don't want to... Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, like, with my daughter, they don't allow them to have Halloween parties. They're not allowed to have Christmas parties.
Well, you don't
want to
offend
anymore.
Anyone, yeah.
Well, it's your opinion. If they get offended, it's their own damn fault.
Yeah,
but...
you know, there's nothing wrong with people getting offended. That's what I've always thought.
Yeah.
There's also nothing wrong with people having a good time.
It's like upsetting a flock of chickens. Or, and they get all upset. Just, who cares?
Well, it's that very loud minority that ruins it for the majority.
There's no such thing as cavemen.
Major issues.
Evil. Like it's the fruit of the devil. Evil.
On YouTube, there's this Christian family band called Winterhaven.
Oh, no.
Have you ever heard of them?
But no.
Man, the dad rocks on the guitar. Listen to this. It's awesome. This is called The Devil is a Liar. Just listen to the song.
The devil is a liar, calling evil good, and spinning the good things to sound evil. Filling our children's souls at our
universe. Kind of backward logic.
Telling God, fearing kids, they've been lied to.
There's like way too many lyrics for each line.
Who would spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit? Traditions of men and the rudiments of this world and
the what?
Rudiments.
Just wait till the dad kicks in on guitar. That's when it rocks.
Devil is a liar, calling evil good, spinning the good things to sound evil.
I think this is the first song I've ever heard the word rudiments in.
But the Bible was written by many men who'd heard themselves from God, who over 4,000 years did declare him one God.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, he's a guitar hero.
And look at him, see? This guy's got like a Santa beard.
And ZZ Top.
Get out your lighter.
Dude is rocking.
He's got fingers like lightning.
Devil is a liar, calling evil good. Good things to sound evil. Jewish kids to hate their own people when it's God who established their nation. For through that nation, God himself came and made a way for all who seek him.
You see the tag right here? Pentecostal.
Promises to all who call
upon. People are dangerous.
And next we're going to sing
here we go.
The Bible.
I love this guy on guitar, man.
Alibaba, it's 40 feet.
This guy's getting it.
It's dad on guitars, son on drums, mom on keyboards, daughter singing.
The keyboard work is excellent.
Yeah, that's the mom with the gray hair. She looks like a grandmother.
So if the devil tells you that there is no God of love, just remind him that he is alive.
You're a liar.
You're a liar.
Uh-oh, the mom joins in on vocals. She's got a nice rolling keyboard.
I think this is that math rock.
Yeah.
Hell, even God's covered his ears at this point.
Oh, wait, come on. The dad with the guitar. Here comes the solo, you guys.
Clapton's got nothing on him.
This is a very, very slow hand here. Thank you. I wrote that.
Uh-oh. He's inching his way towards the front of the stage. Bill, I gotta send you the link to this so you can see what they look like.
Absolutely.
Man, this dude is rocking.
Oh, good lord.
The band is called Winter Haven. And their last name is Winter. Whoa! Going a little nuts there.
Yeah. Getting carried away. Tell the devil he's a liar.
Guy's kind of losing control of the song a little, isn't he?
He's jamming.
Grandma's
let him go.
Like, she's jamming at mom is, whatever.
Keep that train rolling.
Even you know what? Playing along with the song.
Satan hates a guitar solo.
That's right. He totally beats Steve Vai in Crossroads.
He can kick his ass.
Oh, that was a good song.
Now, I think that the devil actually plays a fiddle, not guitar.
If someone tells you otherwise, call him a liar. That was so awesome.
That was.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, Bill, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Yeah, it's been a long year here in Mulberry, and I thought before we'd end our after the show that we'd wish everyone a Happy New Year.
That's a good idea.
It doesn't matter if you started listening last week, the week before, or a year ago, we appreciate you listening.
Always.
And I hope you can forgive us for this lame after the show instead of doing a real show. But you see, we're going to get toasted, man. We can't do no show.
Not in the state that we will be here in a few hours.
Yes, that's right. We're going to have a good old Mulberry drunk fest. A kegger, if you will. And you don't want to see Steven drunk, because after one beer, he's actually unconscious. So I've never seen him drunk. He falls asleep immediately.
Does he really?
Yes. He doesn't need alcohol to fall asleep, does he?
Yeah. No. Alcohol has that effect on people, but Steven, it's just a generalization.
Yeah.
He just falls asleep at everything. In fact, where is Steven?
Not being used to my ability.
Steven, okay, here's the thing, is Vanessa, our Mulberry newswoman, she moved yesterday, and she didn't move without help. Steven and I had to help her, and Steven, I doubt, is going to ever speak to me again for getting him to help. Because really, it takes a special kind of friend to help you move, but it also takes an even more special friend to help your sister move.
Yeah.
And that's
or
what,
someone that has absolutely nothing to do.
Right. I'm sure he could have found something to do. Could have stayed in bed and watched Enterprise rerun with Scott Bakula, something like that.
Or Battlestar Galactica and made up more shit to say.
Yeah, something like that.
Steven is my name.
We do have Foggy here with us. How you doing, Foggy? It's all going well?
Roll down.
So anyway, we helped Vanessa move. She's all moved into her new house, and we just need to not look at her for a while, and I think we'll be okay. Because I hate moving myself, but moving other people's even worse.
Yeah, you know, just back in February, I had to move to my new home, and it was just an enormous pain in the ass. So moving somebody else is just even worse.
Yeah, you know what the worst part of moving is? When you move all the big stuff, and I'm talking couch, entertainment center, bookshelves, coffee table, dressers, a curio cabinet, whatever the hell a curio cabinet is.
Yeah, what is a curio cabinet?
A buffet. I don't know what the hell that is. I thought that was where you can all you can eat or whatever. You get all that stuff, and then you're all set to go. It's like, okay, truck's loaded up, and we're all done, right? No, because the kitchen's still full of dishes. You open every closet. Every closet has just boxes of shit, clothes, bowling balls, 16 Monopoly games, just everything. And
she has to pick up every Monopoly game that comes out every year.
It's just one of those things where you feel like you're not accomplishing anything.
Did she have the edition where it's all dogs, so nobody can fight over who's the dog?
I didn't see that. Damn, I would have taken it.
I have the all-car edition.
Obviously, you've been in a new home all year, right? What's that
been
like?
It's stressful, you know. You don't realize how much money you don't have until you move into a new home.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have to get new stuff or fix this or fix that. It's certainly a stressful year. I'm looking forward to this coming year, maybe make a little more money.
Yeah, the thing is, whenever you move, there's all these unforeseen expenses.
Yeah.
Completely. It's really a draining experience. But do you feel like it's home now? You're all settled in?
I do. I really do feel like it's home, even though the basement is still filled with boxes I still have yet to unpack.
Do you have a comfort zone there?
Yeah, I would have to say it's probably my bed.
Your bed is a comfort zone?
Yes.
Ah, it's nice.
I can get away from everything.
Nice, comfortable bed. I think every man needs his comfort zone, a place where he can just chill, get away from it all, even if it's for 2 hours at a time, say,
yeah,
the living room, chill out, watch a movie real loud, or on your computer, or I think it's very therapeutic for me once a week to do our show, to just chill out and do the show, and it's a lot of fun. Usually after we're done with the show and I've been laughing for 2 hours, I'm good to go for the week.
Yeah, I'm normally dead ass tired, but yeah, I think my main comfort zone is definitely my computer, because even though I have, you know, this big expensive home theater set up, I still end up always coming back to my computer and my little, you know, 20-inch LCD screen, and I end up sitting here with headphones and watching movies here instead of out in the home theater for some reason, because it's like my own little space.
Right.
So this is definitely my comfort zone.
I enjoy editing the show. It's almost like you do the show, then I edit the show, put it out, and then depression hits.
Do you really enjoy editing the show?
Yeah, I do, actually. It's a lot of fun.
Well, good thing you do, because when I edit it, I fucking hated it. Like, with a passion.
It can be... What I do is I just break it off into sections. I say, like, okay, I'm going to do the opening segment of the show, and then stop for now. Take a break.
See, you're smart like that. I would, like, start... And I wouldn't separate it. I would just run straight through the entire thing. And, you know, it's like you have to edit out, like, long pauses. Or, you know, I got real anal with it. And it ended up becoming a job for me.
Yeah, I tried to do the marathon editing, but it just drains you.
Yeah.
And you know what? Episodes where I've done the marathon edit, I don't even want to listen to when I'm done. But what it's cool is what I'll do is I'll edit the opening of the show and be done with it. Then I'll start on entertainment. Sometimes break that off into all the way up to the BSG segment and do the BSG segment separately, depending on how long we take. And by the time I'm done editing the show, I don't even remember the first parts of the show. I'm like, when I get up to the news, I don't even remember the old stuff. So when I re-listen to the show, I'm like, okay, I can listen to how it all came together. And it feels kind of fresh. But if I do it all in one night, I just like don't care anymore. I think it was episode 50 was our big mashup show where we were on the train.
Oh, yeah. Zombie How can we forget?
That thing took forever. That thing was just a huge workload. And I knew it was because the way we recorded is without sound effects and everything. By the time it's done, I'm like, oh, my God, I got to add all this stuff to it. It becomes overwhelming.
Yeah, you know, I people don't realize how much effort goes into that. Like, I know those are our most popular episodes, whenever we do something, like whenever we were in the mall or on the train.
Yeah, and they're much fun, too.
Yeah, they are fun to do, but then the work afterwards is ridiculous.
But, you know,
because it's all post-production.
When I finished that show, I was real proud of it. I still am really proud of it. That was before we used the Levelator, and I'd like to go back and remaster that episode and run it through the Levelator. But I'll just call
quite possibly the best program ever to come out for podcasts.
Yeah, it is. And if there's anyone out there not using the Levelator, you need to. It's really awesome. Just do a Google search on the Levelator. You'll find it. And how cool has it been just to have a dialogue with people who enjoy our show?
It really is. That's you know, like this past weekend, I got a message on Xbox Live from one of our listeners who just said how much he enjoyed our last episode, 64. And that's just really satisfying to hear that people enjoy it, as much as we do making it.
That is so cool. I mean, like, from all the people on the chat room, like... Mick McCart and Credo and Don Chep.
Which we've all been really lax with lately. We need to start.
Yeah, I've signed on chat a little bit this Friday, but no one was on there, so I just clicked off.
Well, I think it's because we, you know, have generally stopped going in, so I guess maybe we need to start doing that
Yeah, we do. And someone like...
We've all just gotten so busy around the holidays and everything.
And that's why I chose not to do the show for the past couple weeks. It gave us... a little room to breathe. Now, see, what's great is now I'm itching to do the show again. I can't wait to get back to the show. And we need to keep the show to an hour because in podcasting, you can't go over an hour. Am I right?
Yes. And you have to have a compressor and make everything sound like you're in a tunnel.
Yes, yes. We need to basically sound as stale as possible, I think.
Mm-hmm. Monotone voices, no excitement.
We need to make our podcast wicked good is what we need.
Yes.
That's what we're going to have in the new year, folks, a Wicked Good Podcast.
Now, wouldn't that be funny if we changed our name to the Wicked Good Podcast?
So that guy's like, hey, man, that's mine.
Is it copyrighted there, numbnuts? But I'm really looking forward to the new year because here in January we've got some new shows premiering, which are definitely ripe for ridicule, like the Armed and Famous and Beauty and the Geek and all that. So,
yeah, Armed and Famous, that looks like comedy gold. There's also another one I saw, and I can't remember what it was now, but all of the new reality shows definitely make me laugh. Oh, and we were talking about how The Apprentice in L.A. is coming out.
Oh, God.
The losers will sleep in a tent. And it's just like, ooh, sleeping in a tent. But in the clip, they show, like, high winds and people screaming. Like, what is it, a tornado hit in Hollywood? What the hell is going on?
Yeah, that was funny because it made me think of the Blair Witch Project in that scene where they're outside hitting the tent.
You can hear some lady go, oh my god, we gotta sleep in a tent. Yeah, I can't wait for that. A cookie in the oven?
Yes. It's not ready yet.
Oh, it's not ready yet? Tell me when it's ready. I can't wait to eat some cookies, okay?
Oh, it's ready.
Oh, it's ready? Give me some. You know, the reason Bill and I are doing this segment right now is we want to wish everyone a happy new year.
Yeah.
We hope it
safe and wonderful happy new year.
Yeah, and hey, say you get drunk tonight and you want to drive home. Don't drive drunk. And I'm not even that concerned about you. I'm concerned about the innocent people that you kill on the way home.
Exactly.
So do me a favor. Do all of us in Mulberry a favor. Why don't you call a cab? Or better yet, designated driver.
Yes, please don't end up on Vanessa's news.
I'm eating an imaginary cookie, Bill. You want a piece?
Yeah, please.
Here you go.
Oh, thank you.
That's delicious cookie. Thank you.
That really is good. My compliments to the chef.
Oh, you going to make some more? Okay. Ah, yes.
A little pastry chef there. There's definitely something about that toddler age where their imagination, like their brains are just so active.
Yeah.
And they just eat that stuff up. They love it.
She's got a little cash register where she wants me to buy things from her. Does that think it's funny? And everything I want to buy, she says, no, it's hers. No, that's mine. Well, can I buy this? No, that's mine.
Like, so she's like the old lady in Jericho.
Yeah. She runs a store, but everything in the store is hers. You're not buying it. It's not for sale. She wants to hear the ding-ding of the cash register. Now, we didn't get to do our whole Rocky bit. So let's just say right now what we thought of Rocky Balboa before we end the show, our special after the show.
That's right. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, we were going to do a nice Rocky thing. What did you think about Rocky?
I absolutely loved it. You know, it was definitely a flawed film, but there was so much heart in it, but that you couldn't help but love every bit of it.
The whole film was like Rocky, just a lot of heart.
Yeah.
And it was Stallone saying goodbye to Rocky, and I thought it was excellent. It's definitely, you would almost say that the fight is almost secondary to the rest of the movie because it's such an incredible, like, the characters and everything are like real people.
Yeah.
It's really well written.
Stallone, I could have went the entire film without the fight. I just loved the interaction between all the characters so much, and it was written so well that I didn't need the fight.
Right,
I didn't really want it, but it worked, you know, but it was...
It's almost like the first Rocky. Rocky didn't think he could win. He just wanted to go the distance. That was the whole point of the fight. He just wanted to go... No one had ever lasted a certain amount of rounds against Apollo in the first one. Apollo had never been knocked down. Well, Rocky knocked him down on his first punch, and he lasted 15 rounds. And this almost kind of echoed that he just wanted to go the distance again and not make a fool out of himself being an old man.
Yeah.
And that's great when it comes to the last round. That's all he wanted to do. He wanted to still be standing. And I thought I really liked that. It was really cool how the film echoed the original Rocky. And
Burt Young was terrific in it. And the whole storyline with Adrian was just so heartfelt and appropriate.
Yeah, it made you really miss Adrian. I thought it was excellent. I can't wait to own the DVD and hear the commentary and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I really, really loved the movie.
Yeah, it was really good. And you know what? I'm kind of in a Rocky kind of craze right now where I want to watch Rocky 3. I want to watch Rocky 2. I got the Rocky Collector's Edition for Christmas, so I've already watched Rocky, but I want to watch the rest of them now.
What about 4?
Oh, Rocky 4? Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah, you're leaving that off the list. Yeah. You can leave 5 off, but 4...
No, I like Rocky 4, but Rocky 2 and Rocky 3, those are great little... I mean, even the first three, Rocky 1, 2, and 3, just... It could have even stopped right there, really, with a nice trilogy. But there's 6 movies now, and how hard is it going to be not to go ahead and buy the 6th film box set?
I will.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. And a nice Rocky tin with a boxing glove, maybe, something like that.
I'll probably wait, though, until it's decided which high-definition transfer wins or format wins, and then
buy it on that. I don't know if I would buy it on standard DVD yet.
Now, how long has it been since you've watched... What's the last Rocky film you watched? Maybe Rocky IV?
No, actually, I think the last Rocky film I watched was 5.
Really?
It was shown on HBO over and over again for a matter of a couple months.
Right.
Like back in March, it was on over and over again. And I watched it then, so that was the last one I watched. Which, it wasn't horrible, but we could have done without it.
Rocky III was on TNT recently, and it made me... I don't own the DVD, but that's really a perfect film.
It is.
It's really excellent how when he whips Clubber Lang's ass, you're just jumping up and down. It's excellent. Well, Bill, I guess we ought to wrap this thing up. Everyone, happy holidays, all that kind of stuff. New Year's resolution, Bill, you got any?
Make more money.
Make more money, nice.
Yes, I gotta make more money.
You know, everyone's like, I'm going to go on a diet, I'm going to quit smoking, quit drinking. How about this? My New Year's resolution is to get rich, get famous, and get a Lamborghini. How's that?
Well, that's entirely, you know, you can do that. That's reasonable.
Yeah, no, I guess it would be nice to get in shape. That's one thing. When you watch Rocky, it's like, damn, I need to start hitting the bag.
I just want to start lifting rickshaws.
Yeah.
I want to go to Chinatown.
Pulleys with rocks in them. I'm going to run around in Siberia or whatever.
See, you shouldn't. Your wife just told you not to hurt yourself.
Yeah. Every home has a child death trap, and it's called the fireplace.
You have a fireplace in Texas?
Yeah. Does that make any sense?
No.
Every home has a friggin' fireplace in Texas where it gets over 100 degrees.
How about if you send me yours, because I don't have one, and it's going to cost me an arm and a leg to get one built by a mason.
It's like cold for like 2 months out of the year, but we have fireplaces.
Have you ever built a fire in it?
No.
Okay.
It's got candles in it.
Oh, and everybody needs to watch Dick Clark tonight and his stroked out speech banter with Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for ruining our holiday with Ryan Seacrest, all right?
Well, I don't know what's worse, Ryan Seacrest or the fact that we have to sit there and watch Dick Clark tick and talk like he's got a mouthful of marshmallows. It's just so painful.
Poor guy. Poor old bastard. All right, everybody. See you next week. We're going to have an all-new show, Nowhere in Mulberry 65. Drive safe. Don't get drunk. In fact, don't drink alcohol. It's an evil of this world. Wouldn't you say,
yes.
Bill?
Yeah, no, but...
I'm out. I got nothing.
It can be.
How about this? Drink on a full stomach. You don't want to drink on an empty stomach. That's my tip.
Good advice.
Also, liquor before beer, never fear. Beer before liquor, never sicker. That's another thing that is true and should always abide by, wouldn't you say?
Yes, that's why I'm doing that exact same thing right now.
You've been warned, sir. So you don't want to.
Thank
be,
you.
You don't want to be.
You reminded me.
You don't want to be painting the bathroom later, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't. So maybe I'll cut it off right now.
All right, everybody. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Wow.
That's right. And close it out. Here's Eddie Deason.
Hey, this grapefruit's rotten. Objects falling back to 32 feet per second.